Hello, Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, sir.
Okay, thank you very much. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the testimonies we've had. Oh God, this shows that you are in our midst. Somehow, sometimes it gets so challenging, but you've always intervened. You've always come through for your children. Father, there are many people here also who are in the shoes of those you've taken care of their matters. We want to pray that, Father, in our subsequent meetings, they also have the opportunity to share their testimonies in Jesus' name. Oh God, we have gathered again to hear your word, to prepare our hearts, to prepare our souls. And Father, to help us on how to condition our lives to all the perversions and the pollutions of the society. I pray that, Lord, you will open our understanding. Give us the grace, O God, to hear and to do your word in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Spirit divine, conviction, understanding, insight come from thee. We therefore pray that, Lord, open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your word today. Both the adults, the youth, the children, everybody will be blessed in your presence. We bless your name because you have answered. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, brethren, I once again with a welcome to our revival service. As we consider the topic before us, overcoming the spirit of this age, overcoming the spirit of this age. We're going to look at our Bible together in Romans chapter 1. I read from verse 20. It's a bit lengthy. Bear with me. We're going to read that. Romans 1 from verse 20, and I read, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." Verse 26. "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against the nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do it." Yeah, brethren, we took the time to go through this lengthy passage because I believe it will help us to give us a proper context of the subject under consideration. When we talk about the spirit of this age, We're talking about the pollutions, the perversions, the extreme freedom that people indulge in is a period of indulgence. And we must know that the devil is the one inspiring all these issues, the spirit of this age. The purpose is to occupy people with pleasures and so blind their eyes and obscure their need of God. As believers, by the grace of God, one of the reasons why we're here is that we need to sensitize ourselves to these perversions. We know them, we identify them, and then be able to proffer or how we can overcome them. But of course, we know we can overcome the spirit of this age by our physical efforts, because of course they are systemic. They are rooted in the systems of the world. Many governments have embedded them into their policies. Look, for instance, the LGBTQ movement. You can just shudder by just understanding the fact that they receive governmental support and even funding. And so you as an individual, to be able to overcome, to challenge them, you cannot do that with your physical efforts. And therefore, the grace of God in our lives and His Spirit that guides us, they are there to see us through. And I believe, God, that you will open our understanding this evening, and you and I will overcome in Jesus' name. Let's look at our first subheading. Number one, obvious manifestations of the spirit of this age. It is not hidden. We see it everywhere. But let us look at how we know them, obvious manifestations of the spirit of this age. As we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you see it, please, you can read for us from verse 1 to 5. Second Timothy 3 from verse 1 to 5. Okay, I read from here. This know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, and we admonish that from such we should turn away. From such we should turn away. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 3. And the Bible says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we have looked at some Bible references. Now let us look at them in more details. We are going to look at number one. We see the emergence and the increase in intensity of New Age movements. Now, what are these New Age movements? Some of you have heard about the word woke, the woke mentality, and the LGBTQ. What is actually the woke mentality? It is important for us to know all these. The woke mentality is a movement rooted in the consciousness and the awareness of the so-called rights, and freedom, which people think we are taking away from them. Some of them from maybe racial freedom, women freedom, as we can see in the expression of a movement called feminism or sexism. And then we see the LGBTQ movement. And then people begin to think that we can do and live however we want to do. Nobody should control us. We can binge drink. We can go anywhere. They can confront government. They can have protests, I mean, ceaselessly and all that. Well, as we see these are manifestations of the spirit of this age. And then we see also from where we read in Romans chapter 1 that men are living the natural use of the men, natural use of the women, and are going after their fellow men. The same thing for the women. But the Bible charges us that we who understand, we who have the wisdom of the eschatological events, we will know it even when the world is speedily heading to destruction. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 10. I read, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. The Lord will help us to understand in Jesus' name. And then another manifestation of the spirit of this age is insatiable quest for materialism, riches, and people want to do anything and everything to have money, including destroying even their own very body parts. Insatiable quest for materialism. But here the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 12 in verse 15. Luke chapter 12 in verse 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his material possession. Insatiable quest for materialism. We also see that again as clearly expressed by Paul the Apostle in 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 3. Sorry, Pastor, I hope you can hear me, please.
Yes,
Yes,
please.
we can hear you. We can hear you, sir.
Thank you very much. 1 Timothy chapter 6 from verse 3. I read, and he says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud and knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil summonsings. Now, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich, they fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so, brethren, we have seen what Paul, as inspired by the Spirit, has led Timothy to know that in these last days, the spirit of this age pushes men into insatiable quest for riches. They want to do everything to have money. and we have been warned. Another manifestation of the spirit of this age is moral, abhorrent moral decadence, global moral decadence, unspeakable moral decadence. And this manifests in different forms, as we see in Romans chapter 3 from verse 10. Romans 3 from verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. People find it even a pleasure to commit abortion, and shedding blood these days is no longer what people shudder at. The Bible says we should be warned. Moral decadence. Then another manifestation of the spirit of this age is erosion of long-held societal values. Men and brethren, as you can bear witness, even in those who weren't believers, I mean Christians before, there are some societal values that they would have to adhere to. But today, these things are completely being phased out right before our own very eyes. In Romans 1:27, and likewise also the men, living the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error. We see another manifestation as now, unfortunately also, it is seeping into the church. Now, backsliding from the faith, for those who are careless, for those who allow themselves to be carried away by what they see around them, they now get influenced by the spirit of this age, and we see backsliding. As we read 2 Peter chapter 2 from verse 20 to 22. Please take that place for us if you are there. God bless you.
2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happening unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Mark. Amen. Thank you. So, brother, we'll see backsliding. And the Bible says it were better they never knew the way of righteousness than after they have tested the fruit of the Spirit, they tested the grace of God, to turn back to their vomit. He said their latter end shall be worse with them than the beginning. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, as we'll see, formality replacing spirituality. A good number of those who attend the church services now are just doing it to be physically present. And many churches have become a market square, a dancing disco hall, and so on and so forth. Instead of worshiping the God that made them, most churches have become a place to showcase fashion, to impress other people. Take that place for us if you are there, please. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5.
having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Bible says when we see that, we should be clear, we should steer clear from those who have this form of godliness, but they lack the spirit, they lack the grace of God to live the Christian life. Then lastly, of course, not the least, increase in spiritual blindness. Spiritual man can blatantly tell you that there is no God. And some people can tell you if it's not scientifically proven, if it cannot be scientifically proven, there is no need to believe, as if we have to subject God to laboratory systems, which can never be. And that is why he remains God. And they remain in darkness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 3 to 4. Again, take that place if you are there, please. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 to 4. Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Second Corinthians 3, verse 24. But if our gospel be it, is it it to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not? Leave not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine up unto them.
Thank you very much, Brother Samuel. Yeah, the Bible tells us that they are spiritually blind. They do not see. Even if they see the signs that things will not remain like this forever. What we have never seen before, the things we've never known before, they are happening right before our eyes. They chose to be blind. Instead, they will tag them to whatever scientific name or terminology they choose to, maybe global warming or whatever and whatever. But those of us, by the grace of God, you and I, who understand that they are spiritually blind. Now, we go to the last of heading. Having known the manifestations of the spirit of this age, what should we do? Now look at overcoming the spirit of this age. You and I, as believers, we have a duty to watch over our souls, to be conscious of our environment, and always remain in tune with our spirit. The Bible says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Know you not yourself, except you be reprobate. 1 John chapter 2, from verse 15 to 17, I read, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world will pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The fashions of this world will pass away. Whatever name they call these movements, they will come and they will go. So unfortunately, if those of them who practice them die in those that believe, they will perish in hell forever. But here the Bible charges us. We don't have to align ourselves to them. We don't have to allow our hearts to stray, to begin to appreciate what they do. Love not the world. You shouldn't say we shouldn't walk. Here does not mean we shouldn't go out and walk on the street like other people walk, or drive cars, or walk in the office. No, but we should not give our hearts to all the pollutions of the world. We shouldn't give ourselves to all these things that clearly contravene the word of God. We shouldn't even have pleasure in them. That's what we mean by do not love the world. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Overcoming the spirit of this age. Galatians chapter 2 in verse 20. Galatians 2:20, and I read. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Here, Paul was writing to the Galatian church. There are many challenges, there are many obstacles. Some of them could be very, very, very difficult to overcome. But he said, I have given my heart. I am no more, even if I live, it is no more I that live. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and has given himself for me. Therefore, brethren, what this prayer tells us is that if we make up our mind, if we completely decide to focus on heaven, as the Bible charges us, that our affection shall be on things above and not the things of beneath. If we do that, we will overcome. We will overcome in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 12. And then the Bible says, and it says, now we have received, not the spirit of the world. The world has a spirit. And that is the spirit of this age. That is the spirit of rebellion. It's the spirit that tells a youth, a boy, a girl, your parental control is getting out of hand. Run out of the house. Go and enjoy unlimited, absolute freedom outside. Is the spirit of the world, the spirit that inspires divorce, is the spirit of the world. He said, we have received not of the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. In specific terms, how can we overcome? Number one, prayer and spiritual discipline. Prayer and spiritual discipline. Read for us Matthew 26:41, if you're there, please. Matthew 26:41.
Verse 41, and I read, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Thank you, sir. So, brethren, here the Bible charges us to watch and pray. We have to pray. We also have to watch. That's where discipline now comes in. Yes, we have to pray, oh God, take care of my soul today as I'm going out. Let your power, let your will, let your grace flow over me. Now you go out, there is this human divine partnership. God will do his own part, but you also is required of you to do your part. The Bible says that abstain from all appearance of evil. There are many things we have been exposed to today that can pollute the heart of a heaven-bound saint. Let's take, for instance, the internet. An internet is good. Businesses are done on the internet. It has solved so many challenges in the world. And then the devil, who will always turn what is good to his own advantage, will want to use the internet to sell and imprison people. So if you are drawn to such kind of sites, you have to immediately deliver yourself from it by closing those pollutions, those kind of sites. You have to, as we pray, spiritual discipline is required of you and I. Then number two, fellowship and accountability. That's what I call the sense of community. You wouldn't know the benefit we derive here being together as we hear the word of God. If you are in the same city with other people, other believers, other brethren, and you are in the same church, it is required of you to check on one another. Brethren, the devil as a roaring lion
walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And if he sees that you are isolated, if he sees that you are lonely, it becomes an opportunity for him to pray over you. I pray, Lord, will help us to understand in Jesus' name. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. I call on you, you call on me. I need to be followed up. I want to follow you up. I will call. This is required of us to see how we are doing. And also in the church as we are. If you check on the platform, one particular brother is not here. One particular sister is not here. After the fellowship, you make a call to that individual and want to know why he or she was not in fellowship. That sense of accountability, that if you are absenting yourself, you know that somebody will certainly call me to know my affairs. It helps us to be together. That is the church Jesus left behind. That is the church the Spirit wants us to be in. And I want to thank all of us in Finlandia. We are indeed doing that. But there is need for improvement. We can improve. Let us be one another's keeper. Number three, unwavering commitment. We've read already Galatians chapter 2 in verse 20. That commitment, that mind that is made up to say, no matter the challenge, I have made up my mind. Paul the Apostle says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of the dying of Jesus Christ. Paul was somebody who has already made up his mind to, I will go. Like Rebecca's parents asked him, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. We have to make up our mind. And I'm charging you, children, and of course, youths also. There are many influences over you. You at the age where you are is the age where you are under intense pressure. There are influences there. And some of the teachers that teach you at school, some of them are down deep into the spirit of this age. And the things they will teach you and how they will express it makes you to get so confused. You go to school, you hear something different. Over here in the fellowship, you are hearing completely something different. But one thing you must know is that the Bible cannot be broken. What we are telling you is what will benefit you, what will help you to not only live a very good, responsible life here on earth, and also to spend eternity with God in heaven, so that you don't regret your life hereafter. We see keeping alive hope and promise of eternal life. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, as I read from verse 1. John 14, verse 1. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. And it is to encourage each and every one of us, no matter what you see, no matter what you read, no matter what you hear, let not your heart be troubled. There are wars, rumors of wars. We are hearing what will happen. There may be war, whatever they call it. Let not your heart be troubled. The government is supporting these perversions. And to you, as a heaven-bound believer, you are not happy. Let not your heart be troubled. Somebody has fallen away. A well-known preacher somewhere has fallen. Let not your heart be troubled. Bible says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. And I say, verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Brethren, we will be there. We have to keep hope alive. Our master, our lover, he that died, he that gave himself for us, has gone to prepare a place for us. You can imagine how big the mansion is, that he has been in preparation till now. He is coming home. He will come. We have to keep our heart, we have to keep our mind focused on the things above. He who has promised will certainly deliver according to his promises. Do not allow yourself to be distracted. Don't allow yourself to be confused. Concentrate on heaven things, and the Lord will see us through in Jesus' name. As we see here, finally, living as salt and light through this and preaching, the Lord charges us. We need to live as salt. We need to also live as light in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 in verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. Over there where you are, whatever be the name of the city, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is then for good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Again, in verse 14, you are the light of the world. You can imagine the properties of salt and all that salt can do. Salt is a preservative. Salt also is a seasoner. Imagine you being in that city. The Lord says you are there to bring out the best in that city. You are there, your presence is there to preserve the city. Let's take away at the citywide level. How about at the family unit level? That man that is your colleague in the office. Your colleague, you are working with somebody, and then every time he looks so solemn, so withdrawn, so sad, you are there to brighten his days. You are there to brighten her days. The Lord charges us, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. How can you be the light? And then what comes out of you is that you emit darkness. That will not be our Lord in Jesus' name. So another woman 15, another woman light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the world. Let your light so shine. He didn't say it should shine, but so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Brethren, this is God's own command. And this command does not go to the unbeliever, doesn't go to those that are already deceived, which is for you and I, who are heaven bound, who are spiritual. We should live a life to collect other people. They may not have the opportunity to read the Bible. You are their Bible. You are the word of God they will need to look at. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 from verse 3, and it says, but if our gospel be hid, as we live as light, as we live as salt, we also need to preach the gospel. Open your mouth and share the word with them. Don't be intimidated by their look. The Lord told Jeremiah, he said, from the day you were conceived, I knew you. He told Ezekiel, don't look at their faces. If you look at how big, how fierce, how intimidating they look, you will, like the children of Israel in the wilderness, you will consider yourself as a grasshopper, God forbid. Open your mouth and tell them about Jesus. He said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If you don't open your mouth and tell them, they are speedily hidden to destruction. If you therefore refuse to share the gospel with them, you are hiding the eternal truth from them. In verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Brethren, the Lord charges us, both in deed and in spirit, in prayers. We need to be in charge of our environment. Is anybody in the office of recent assembly drawing close to you? The Lord knows why you as a man, that man is beginning to draw close to you. The Spirit of God is bringing him close to you, that you may minister to him the word of eternal life. Do not allow this soul to escape from your hand. Do not allow this life, because after now, life may take you to somewhere. It may take this individual to another place altogether. You are there to season and bring God the best and preserve him for eternal life. We will not fail in Jesus' name. As we summarize, the spirit of this age, Brethren, they are all before us to see. And many people are already taken captive. But for you, like Daniel said, you and I who understand, we really understood what is happening. Do not allow your heart to be troubled. We can do our part. First, you need to overcome. Overcoming the spirit of this age is a prerequisite for us to make heaven. We'll not fail in Jesus' name. Let's bow our head as we go to God in prayer. I want us to pray and tell the Lord, Father, we have heard your word today, overcoming the spirit of this age. Brethren, they are all around us to see. Especially, you know, these things were there before, but when you cross over to this part of the world, you begin to see them very clear. But as a child of God, there is a reason why God, in spite of the system there, God still brought us here to see. We are there, we are here to expand the kingdom. Let's pray that the Lord will help us. We will not lose any of our brothers. We will not lose any of our sisters. None of our children, no child, no youth will be lost to the spirit of this age. We will all make it together. Pastor, please.
Let's continue to pray. We cannot but ponder on these things. Commit yourself into the hands of God. We have seen the signs of the new age, and that the world we live in is rooted in those perversions. Why not commit yourself into the hands of God? Even as we heard the message that the Lord had given to us through the pastor, you know already that these things exist. I know sometimes you wonder why they are there. Pray and tell the Lord, as we have had this evening, Pastor told us that these practices, that as we see them, are inspired by the devil. And no doubt they are inspired. Tell the Lord to shield you from every of those practices. A lot of times, even in our churches, a lot of people argue. Sometimes, Pastor, show me in the Bible where the Bible says I cannot do this. Where the Bible says I cannot do that, but ask them the origin. They cannot even trace it. They do not know how it started. A lot of times you see it, some of these things begin gradually. You see people drawing all kinds of people. And a lot of times, most of us who are believers, we are so naive because we do not have the kind of knowledge that some of them in the world have. They bring them in subtly, just like the devil approached Eve. I say, look at the fruit, it's so beautiful in this our age and time. Look around you, the dressings of the world, they call it fashion. And then if you don't dress like them, you are outdated. They call you names. They describe you in so many ways. But sometimes you have to ask yourself, does it really change your personality? Does it in any way affect your health? Does it in any way change who you are, except that you have made it so? Why not commit yourself and say, Lord, give me the grace, the discerning spirit. As our pastor has told us this evening, the purpose of all of these is so that they can occupy people and make us blind to the things that the Lord wants for us. Remember the time of Noah, that even when God spake through Noah to them, they were laughing the same way they are doing today, calling names. They will call you names because the devil has come to make them not to see the plan of God for their life. Therefore, commit yourself this evening and tell the Lord that the pleasures of this world will not be your preoccupation. A lot of people, what is paramount in their mind is how they will be comfortable. A lot of people, they don't bother to look at what does the Lord expect of me. There are so many things the scripture expects of us. In our individual life, in our families, in our places of work, with regards to our relationship to the society and the world at large. But then you discover that these days, what occupies people's mind? My happiness, my joy. In as much as these things are okay, but it cannot be at the expense of the express word of God. It cannot be at the expense of that which the Lord have commanded. We have heard this evening that as believers, we must be spiritually vigilant, ask the Lord to give you the grace. And you also identify these practices. There is no excuse. Remember, as it is, You cannot tell the Lord that you did not know. The Bible says in the times of ignorance that the Lord winked at. But in these days and time, you and I have had the message this evening. We cannot claim anymore that we do not know. Perhaps we didn't know before now. You are going to pray and say, Lord, make me spiritually vigilant. Oh, Lord, make me spiritually. Look at the case of Peter. Even though Jesus warned him and told him of what was ahead of him, Peter swore with his life that nothing will ever make him deny Jesus because he was relying on his personal determination and strength. But little did he know that he would fall flat. And he failed. Peter fell. Peter, in fact, denied Jesus 3 times, exactly as the Lord said. In your case, why not ask God for grace? That vigilant, attitude you need. Not just that you sometimes we say, yes, we keep to ourselves. But it's good to keep to yourself. You also need to know these things because the devil brings them in subtly. We were also told that, we cannot overcome them through our physical efforts. The grace of God. Ask God for grace to overcome. The overcomer's grace. So that the Spirit of God will guide us in all things. The Spirit of God will guide us in our decision making. The Spirit of God will guide us in our interrelationship, both within and outside the family of God. The Spirit of God will guide us in the things we say and the things that we don't say. Let's open our mouth and pray and ask God for His Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We were told during the message that there are obvious manifestations of the Spirit of this new age. Do you know that even as believers, I was listening to a particular minister the other day, and he talked about the fact that some people today, the reason they don't come to church, if you ask them, they will tell you the church is boring. They will tell you it's not attractive. And the simple reason is because they want the disco. They want all the acrobatics that is done in the world to be brought into the church. Maybe you belong to that category. You are going to pray this evening. In fact, if you look at some of the things we use for worship today, I'm not sure there were things like flute, piano, and all those in the days of the disciples of our Lord Jesus. And yet they were eager to tarry in the presence of God. They served the Lord without those things. So many people today, even though they hear the word of God, even though they hear the inspiring word that should draw them close, they are rather bothered about the acrobatic, the dance step, and everything, the clothing and everything. That is where their focus is. You are going to ask the Lord and say, Father, every spirit of the new age that have entered into the world, give me the grace of God to stand against them so that in your mind you will understand. Because those people that serve God before us, if you hear of the heroes of faith, the disciples of old, they didn't have the privilege to have some of the privileges we have today. We can talk about the, adjustment of sound. We can talk about adjustment of, fellowship instruments. I remember those days as a young child. Today we can have service. We have the projector and everything. And when they are not there, some of us will begin to grumble and cry. But that is not what determines the fruitfulness of the service. That is not where the substance of the service is. The substance of the service is in the word of God. You are going to open your mouth and you are going to tell the Lord, like the psalmist said, take me back, that the Lord will take us back to that old time religion, that the Lord will take us back. Open your mouth and pray that all the wiles of the enemy, all the vices and of the new age, the enemy will not use it to stop you. The enemy will not use it to stop you. Their manifestations come in every form. The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is sufficient. Let's open our mouth and pray that the Lord will help us. That the Lord will help us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We were told during the message that there is the emergence and increase in the intensity of the New Age movement. Brethren, I read one particular story. Permit me to use this example. There are some kind of dressing style today that some people can argue from morning till night about. One day I took time to read and to find out how it also actually began. It began as a result of rebellion. We also see that, but gradually the church has allowed it in, and it's now becoming a substance of argument. If you also look critically, you will see the LGBT and whatever they call them. You can see that in some denominations and church now, they are beginning to accept their brethren. We must not go beyond where the word of God stood. Because the Bible said, he that shall add to this world, you know, the Bible said he shall that God will visit him with judgment, and he that will remove. The truth about it is that there are so many things that are practiced today, even that has been brought into the church, that has no place in the scripture. Let's open our mouth and pray and say, God, give me the grace that I will not be blinded by the increase in this. In fact, they will become accepted. People will find a way to justify it. And the funny aspect is that, for example, you will see the same-sex marriage. I have seen preachers, I have had preachers on the internet who are bringing biblical scriptures to justify those things. These are the new age that we're talking about, the new age spirit, and it's creeping in. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, give me the grace? We have been told it's on the increase. Some of them are there everywhere. Already, you can see in this part of the world, and it's already affecting, even coming into many churches. The Bible made it clear. He said, wife, submit unto your own husband. And husband, love your wife. But what do we see today? Like the pastor told us, he called it woke. He gave it name. These are the new age movement. You begin to raise argument. Yes, we are equal. Yes, we are this. Yes, we are that. The society we live in has empowered me. If you talk, I will call the police for you. You are going to open your mouth. You are going to pray and say, Lord, give me the grace that irrespective of what is happening in this environment, the word of God for a believer is superior to any other argument. It's superior to any logic. Open your mouth and pray. There is insatiable quest for materialism. For many of us here, perhaps, because when we came here, you know, our primary aim was to come and seek for greener pasture. I always say this, and those in my church know, I always say it, you are not here by accident. And the thing that, the reason the Lord brought you here, yes, it may have been that because you want to seek for greener pasture. But go and look at the early church. When the Lord, the Bible said, because of the death of Stephen, they were scattered everywhere. But the Bible said, everywhere they went, they preached the gospel. Everywhere they went, they made sure that they carried the light of the gospel with them. As a person, the Lord had brought you here. Think about it. When you were coming, so many people applied like you, but they were not granted the application. But you were given. You think it's by accident? You think it's because you are the best of all the candidates? You think it's because the application is? No, that's not the reason. It's because the Lord had brought you here for a purpose. And the question is, should you live here today? What will you be remembered for? Oh, that you enjoyed all the provisions of this place. Oh, that when you came here, you established yourself, you walked around, you enjoyed the serenity. No, the Lord brought you here for a purpose. The Bible said, to him that knoweth what is good to do, but fail to do it, to that person it is a sin. When you know that the Lord said, wherever you go, go ye into all the world, every part of the world, wherever you find yourself, and preach and spread the gospel, and you fail to do it because of the spirit of the new age, you are going to open your mouth, you are going to tell the Lord, the reason, the purpose you have brought me here, the reason, the purpose why I'm here at this moment, let not the new age hinder me from accomplishing it. Because he said, before he formed you in your mother's womb, the Lord knew you will be here at this point in time. And he has set a purpose for you. Don't be like Cain, who will leave the assignment God has given and began to ask God questions. Maybe in your case, materialism. You know, so many of us were so busy working from morning till night. No time to go through the scriptures, no time to study. You cannot overcome the spirit of the new age with this attitude. Let's open our mouth and pray. The Bible said the devil will make them so busy. And that is the aim. So that you will get busy to the point that even on the days of meeting, you do not consider it necessary. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, help me. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. The Bible said moral decadence. Someone called me the other day and genuinely was asking, you know, for example, for our children. We are seeing Halloween. We are seeing this thing here. We are seeing that thing here. I can tell you that most of us who are here today, we do not understand that part of the moral decadence we're talking about, it does not just come to us as adults. You also see that subtly and gradually, even in our institutions, they bring them in. Smoking is not a problem. You know, you don't discriminate. Whatever they do, just allow them. Be free. Don't show dissent. And gradually, you begin to behave like them. We are going to open our mouths as the moral decadence is increasing. Ask the Lord to open your eyes. Because sometimes when you are not so careful, what usually happens is that the devil pushes you so hard, pushes you so subtly to the point that you do not know the boundaries anymore. You do not know where to stop as a believer. Why not open your mouth and say, God, give me the grace. Oh, God, give me the power. One of my friends said something one day. He told me when we talk about politics, I told him, he said, never. He told me that his prayer to God is that day that he will even contemplate, not just going in. He will contemplate on going into it that God should take his life. You are going to pray and say, Lord, that day, do not allow me to even contemplate on going into that direction. Because sometimes the line now, it's becoming thinner by the day because they are polishing it. They are bringing it, you know, in a way of spiritual reform. Let's open our mouth and pray. When you stand against it, they will hate you. Pray and say, God, give me the grace. I don't want to contemplate it at all. That the Lord will give you the grace. The Spirit of God will guide you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. I saw one particular video one day and somebody opened their mouth and said that when their parents got married, they were blind. Brethren, let's not get to that level. Erosion of long-held societal values. You and I know that for some of us, where we are coming from, the Bible will read, the things we see, and the societal values we see here. You go out there in the summer, people are almost completely naked. And I see sometimes that even believers, some of us, when it is summer, you can come to church with short knicker. You go and wear one tiny thing and in the name of summer, because you want to belong, may God deliver us. You are going to open your mouth, you are going to pray. All the values the scripture have said, the virtues the Bible has stated, many of us are not quick to copy those. You are going to open your mouth, you are going to pray. We are not the one that will argue with this God. We can, the society here where we live cannot determine the standard. The Lord has already set the standard out there. Let's open our mouth and pray and say, Lord, help us. And say, Lord, help us. We have to build our faith. The disciples of our Lord Jesus prayed and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Ask God to increase your faith. And then formality replacing spirituality. Are you not that type? Everything that happens in the church, sometimes we begin to complain. Sometimes we begin to look at formalities. Let's open our mouth and pray. The old-time religion. You know, in those old-time religion, they were so concerned about what God wants. They were so concerned about the mind of God. They saw the face of God. You are going to open your mouth. Oh, Lord, help me. That my faith will be unwavering. Open your mouth and pray. And we are told that part of the thing we need to overcome, part of the steps to overcome, is prayer and spiritual discipline. Most of us, we have not been. You are going to ask God today to give you the grace, prayer and spiritual discipline. How many of us today still can afford to pray at least once or twice in a day? Many of us, you are coming from night work, you are already dozing as you are sleeping, you are waking up, you are rushing for daytime work, and the cycle continues. Be careful, because the trumpet can sound any moment. Prayer and discipline. You are going to ask God to give you that discipline. You are going to ask God to give you the grace for prayer. And then we see another thing is fellowship. If you look at online here now, I mean, if you look at the attendance sometimes, you will see that for some people, they come once in a while. It's like Sunday medicine. You know, it's like malaria prevention medicine. You are going to pray and say, Lord, I want to be more committed. How many of us, when you are fixing your sheet, you consider the days of fellowship? Remember what the scripture says. That the Lord weighs every thought. He weighs your thoughts. He weighs your decisions. He weighs why you do what you do. Why not commit yourself into the hands of God and say, Lord, help me. And as we have been told, we must keep alive hope. And then we must also make sure that we take hold of the promises of it. And finally, living as salt and light of the world. Brethren, what do people know you for? Oh, you see that sister? She makes so much money. That's the only thing they know about you. You see that brother? He's the richest person in town. That's the only thing they know about you. Why not open your mouth today? As salt, there is no way you will have salt in your food without knowing it. There is no way you will have light without identifying it. Darkness cannot come there. Open your mouth and tell the Lord, use me, make me an instrument. We have had today the new age spirit. Ask the Lord to deliver you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father in heaven, we thank and bless you because once again, you have reminded us that you have created us for this purpose, to go out and show the light of the gospel. Father, in all the areas in the past, we have failed. In all the areas in the past, we have disappointed you. We are very sorry. As I've had the message this evening, Lord, I pray that this message will continue like a bell to ring in our heart. Jeremiah said, even when I refused and said, I will not speak, I will not preach the word of God, it rang like gold, it burned like fire in my bones until I respond. Lord, I pray that this message will be a burden on our heart until we identify, until we rescue ourselves from every spirit of the new age in Jesus' name. As many of us who probably ignorantly are deep neck in it already, Lord, I pray you deliver us. And as many of us that have made up our mind, oh God, I pray the grace we need, the strength we need, the power we need to overcome the spirit of the new age, you will grant unto us in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for our pastor whom you have used this evening. Whatever virtue has gone out of him, oh Lord, I pray you replenish it. As we continue, Lord, continue with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you have answered. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please, if you can hear me, unmute your mic and say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We bless the name of God.